They were getting hyped. Ephesians chapter 5 for the rest of us this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse number 8. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, to those that are saved. He writes this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye children, are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's go ahead and pray this morning and ask him to bless the message. Lord, thank you so much for being with us, watching over us, Lord, protecting us, giving us provision. Lord, thank you for your mighty hand, Lord, in this world. And Lord, although the world seems to be going against your word at every turn, thank you, Lord, that we know that in the end you are the victor. And Lord, the book says that you will win and you will have victory over all sin and the world and the devil. And Lord, thank you for that blessed hope we have of your return someday to take us from this world and to be with you. Lord, I pray that you would bless the message this morning. Lord, that the topic and the idea would sit down in our hearts this morning, and those that can hear my voice would have clear understanding through your Holy Ghost, and that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. Allow us to be thankful when we leave here this morning for what you've spoken to us about. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to kind of hone in here on verse number 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And I want to talk to you about the will of the Lord this morning. And I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about what it is and what it isn't. And we're going to kind of do some flipping back and forth through the scriptures here this morning to get a better biblical understanding of what's going on. And the Bible says here in verse 17 that we're not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we can be unwise and not know what the will of the Lord is, or we can be wise and have some understanding about the will of the Lord. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We're going to come back to a different verse, but turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. I'm turning in the wrong direction, so if you ever tell you somewhere to turn and you just turn in the wrong direction, well, you're with me, all right? Not always going the right way. Colossians chapter 4, I want you to look in verse number 12. Colossians 4 and verse 12. The Bible says that Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. All right, so this there are some ideas about the will of God. I'll kind of talk to you about that in just a moment. But the scripture says that we can have an understanding of what the will of the Lord is. That's what it says in Ephesians. And here in Colossians, it says that we are able to stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. We are able to have an understanding of what God desires of us. We are to have an understanding of the will of the Lord, and we're able to do that and stand perfectly in that will. It's possible through the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There is that for our lives. Now, I know that verse is preached kind of different ways. I'm not necessarily sure that there is a good, separate from an acceptable, and separate from a perfect will of God. I think that the will of God is good, and it's acceptable, and it's perfect for us to be in. And we can be in that will of God for our lives. We can know it, we can understand it, we can be perfect in it. And for us to be perfect in His perfect will is what you and I should desire to be. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, He says, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." That's what Jesus Christ did. He said, "I'm seeking out the will of God for His life, for Jesus Christ, for His life. I'm seeking His will, and that's what I want to do." Go back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 6. This is an attitude of a servant. He says this in verse 6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Doing the will of God from the heart. Now, when we start talking about this idea of the will of God, and I guess it depends on the preaching, it more depends on the terminology, but the will of God is not some faraway, distant, magical design that the Lord has for your life. I think that's often how people look at it. What is the will of God for my life? And we're thinking some kind of like end goal, some type of achievement of some sort. We climb the mountain and then there's some will of God that magically is going to kind of shine down around us like the Mount of Transfiguration, you know? Like we're going to fall into the river and we're going to get up and the heavens are going to open and a dove is going to come down, alighting upon us, and we're like, "I have made it to the will of God." The will of God is not some mystical reality where we're trying to chase until the day that we reach a spiritual nirvana and then we have come to the will of God. That's not what the will of God, at least not what the Bible says about the will of God. Now, often when a Christian says, "I want to know the will of God for my life," what they really mean is, "I want to know the long-term plan that God has for me." That's what Christians are saying, young and old alike. "I need to know what the will of, I just wish I could know what the will of God is for my life." And what we mean is, if God could just show me down the road a bit, then I would know how to navigate and get there. First of all, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't know how to navigate and get there. Right, you'd think, all right, well, the quickest way to get there is this way. And God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry like you're in a hurry. Listen, when I see brake lights and traffic up ahead, instantly I go to prayer and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to sit in traffic. No, that's a lie, actually. That's not true. That's not true. That's a small falsehood, all right? That is not the reality. It's usually, "Are you kidding me?" And my wife looks over at me like, "Again? You're so pathetic." I'm like, "Be quiet." And she's like, "I didn't say anything." "I know what you're thinking, though." And she's like, "And I know what you're thinking." "Lord, if you could just show me the plan, if you could just give me the long term here, then I would, if you could just tell me what the will of God is," that spot where I go, "Oh, I'm in it. I'm here now. I finally arrived in the will of God." Then we would look and we would navigate and we would find our own way through. And that's not how the Lord operates. That's never how the Lord has operated. So when we talk about the will of God is, what do you want for me today? What do I know that you want from me? What is your will for me that is tangible? It wouldn't make any sense if God said, "My will for you is way out here, and if you mess up on the way, well, I'll just have to smack you around a little bit. I'll just have to bring you through some difficult times until you can figure it out." No, the will of God is follow the Lord today, and as God's plan is opened and revealed, you're ready for it. You're ready to go if you're in the will of God. It's the Bible says you can understand it. You can be complete in it. You can be doing the will of God. That's what it says. Doing the will of God from the heart. That's not way out there. That is right now. That is you actively doing the will of God for your life. It's being a part of it. Listen, the behavior that you engage in today shapes who you become tomorrow. What are you doing today to prepare for tomorrow? And Christians rarely think about it. They rarely think about it. I'm just doing my thing. And then tomorrow or the next day comes, and if it's not pleasurable, you're thinking, what in the world, the Lord? What are you trying to do to me? And the Lord says, I've been trying to prepare you the whole time. You're not paying attention. You're doing your own thing. You're just basking in the sunlight as if there's nothing to do, laying back on the hammock. There's no preparation. There's no will of God for me today. It's just everything's going to be fantastic until it isn't. And then when it isn't, we're like all in an uproar that the Lord could possibly have something in our lives that might be preparing us for later, right? But preparation is not, you're doing such a good job. That's not preparation. I never had a teacher ever in preparing me for the test that let me come up with the wrong answer and said, perfect, go on back. No, they said, you're wrong here. You messed up in this one part. Or find where you messed up. Or this isn't it. Let me show you how you messed up right here. And what is it? It's in preparation for something later. And man, this Christian life, the will of God, we can be in the will of God today. And if I'm in the will of God today, I'm helping shape who I can become for tomorrow when things come. When life shows up tomorrow, if I'm in preparation today and if I'm in the will of God today, man, tomorrow's a lot easier. If we can know what the will of God is today, we can be ready for his plan tomorrow. We can be ready. Man, I think back on my own Christian life, and I remember when I first got right with the Lord, and I had been raised in a Christian home and had a father that taught the Bible and pastored for a number of years. And my mother was my Sunday school teacher and my junior church teacher. Went and hung out with mom for Sunday school. All right. Then mom had to play the piano. So we all went out and sat and sang all the songs, sat through the announcements, did all the thing. Then it was time to go to junior church. Mom got off the piano, went back to junior church. I went back to junior church. And so growing up with the Bible, and when I got right with the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm ready to serve you now. And the Lord's like, no, you're not. You spent 4 or 5 years doing nothing in my will. You're not ready. You're not prepared for anything. And what did the Lord do? He gave me 2 years before he called me to go to Bible school. He gave me 2 years to do what? To learn about what God wanted from me. To learn what the will of God was for my life. And to make changes in my life and to make adjustments in my life, to be in his will. And finally he said, okay, the next step of my plan for you is to move from Western Pennsylvania to Florida. That's the next step in the plan. And then what happened? Well, I had a lot to learn. I got down there and I'm like, all right, I'm finally here. The Lord's like, well, you're in a place, but you haven't arrived anywhere. You have a lot to figure out still. The one thing you have to figure out still mostly is that you have a lot to figure out. And what happened? God's plan for my life. And what did I need to do? I finally realized, man, I don't know what's going on. I can't call the shots. And if God told me what the plan was, I'd say, I don't like that plan. And I'd want to do something else. And so what did I need to do? Search out what the will of the Lord was for me today. Do what I can do today and be ready for tomorrow. And be ready for tomorrow. And that's the idea. So let's look in the scriptures at a couple things that we can know are the will of God, and let's live in those. And then when tomorrow comes, when God's plan is revealed in our lives, when things happen in our lives, we can be in the will of God, and we can, with His help, we can be ready for what the Lord brings and what others bring, by the way. Let me just clarify that real quick. Sometimes the Lord says, boy, I wish things were going to go this way for you, and then somebody else messes that up. Somebody else gets out of the will of God and messes up your life, and God's like, man, that stinks. I wished for them to do something else. But God doesn't leave me then. God doesn't leave me when someone else stabs me in the back. God says, I wish they didn't stab you in the back. But we can do this. We can go forward. And if I'm in the will of God, then he's there to help me. And we can make some godly decisions because we're trying to walk in His will. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, we're going to read verse number 3. Three and four. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. What are these verses saying was the will of God? It is the will of God for the Lord Jesus Christ to give himself for our sins and that he could deliver us from this present evil world. It was the will of God, firstly, that Christ would die. It was the will of God. It was his will when he looked down and saw mankind as much of a mess as we are. And God tried to write his law upon our hearts, and then God wrote his law down with his own finger for the Jews. He wrote it on tables of stone, and we have copies of his law now. And that law was written there so that we could understand not how good we are, but that we won't keep the law. God didn't write the law down so you could say, well, I keep some of it, so I'm a pretty good person. No, he wrote his law down so you could say, I certainly don't keep all of it, and that makes me guilty. And when we can understand that, certainly as God did, then he sent his own son to fulfill the law and the prophets, and that he could die in our place. He could die a sinner's death as an innocent man. He could die a sinner's death and take the payment of hell for what? For you and I, who are sinners and don't deserve heaven by our own merit. Can you imagine the audacity of standing before God and saying, well, I was pretty good, so I deserve to be let in. Heaven, we're talking about. A perfect and sinless place dwelling with God Almighty. Can you imagine us standing before God? That's what religion tells people. Well, if you're pretty good, then you can just demand heaven when you die. Well, that's not right. But Jesus Christ died for us, and it was God's will. It was God's will that he would die for our sins. And thank God that he did. Thank God that Jesus Christ on this earth, he said, I seek the will of my Father. That's what he sought. Because it was God's will that Jesus Christ die for you and I. It was God's will that he would be the sacrifice for our sin and the payment for our sin. And we can have justification with God. We can have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his will, and his will was accomplished. Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father, and he hung on that cross. He wasn't made to. The Bible says he laid his life down. Here's how I picture it. When the Romans and the scribes and the Jews, they took him and buffeted him and beat him and whipped him and those things, and it was time to crucify him, and they made him carry his own cross to Calvary, and he put that cross down, and he was going to be nailed to that cross. You know what I envision? I envision that being a difficult task for some men. They probably had to have many men hold some men down so they could be nailed to the cross. But you know what Jesus Christ did? He laid his life down. Here's what I think Jesus Christ did. No Bible for this, but I think here's what he did. When he was on that cross, he put his arm out. And they put the nail up to it and drove it through into the cross. He endured it. He endured the pain. You know what else he did after that? He put his other arm out. Why? Because he was doing it willingly. He was doing it willingly for you and I. And it was God's will that Christ would die. It was God's will. Look in John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's look in verse number 12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, he is that light. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It was God's will, and it is God's will, secondly, for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord's will. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the Lord's will for you to receive Jesus Christ. Now, he won't bend your will. He won't go outside of, he won't supersede your own free will to have you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he desires it. It's his will for you to do it. It's his will for you to get saved. If you're not saved and born again, you might not even know what the terms mean. To be born again means we were born the first time physically, and here we are, born into sin. And whatever has happened in your life, it's brought you to this place, and you're here this morning, you're hearing the preaching of the Word of God, and here we sit as sinners in this flesh who have disobeyed God's law and his command willingly. We've done it on purpose to disobey God. That's to be born the first time. To be born again means to be born spiritually. What happens is something that God does. It's a birth that God gives us. What's he do? He gives us a new man. He gives us the ability to have eternal life that he places inside of us. And that's much different from the sinner that we carry around in this body. And that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. It's through our faith and what he has already done. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for your life, is to receive Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. That's a power that's not coming from you and I. We can't inside of us muster up enough power to become a son of God. We don't have the power to transform into a son of God. But he is the one who gives them power to become the sons who? Even to them that believe on his name. And that's what salvation is. It's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's salvation, and it's God's will for you to be saved and be born again. And what about after that? What about after that? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It starts to narrow it down now to the Christian. In general, it's God's will for Christ to die. It's Jesus Christ died for the sin of the world. And so it's God's will that everyone would repent and turn from whatever they're trusting in, would repent from that, repent from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for his righteousness. That's the Lord's will, that everyone would get saved. When you pass out a gospel tract or you witness to someone on the job site, it's God's will that they would get saved. God died for them. God loved them enough to offer his arms of salvation open wide to anyone that would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his will. And if you have been saved, then he has a will for you beyond that. In this life, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's start reading in verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, what are we seeing here? There is this group of Christians, and they had they were in a trial of affliction, and they had deep poverty, and they heard of other Christians that needed help financially. And because they of their own will and above their own will, the Bible says, they had given themselves to the Lord, they wanted to be able to give an offering and have Paul and his companions take that to the other Christians that needed some help. But it says they were able to do all of that because of verse 5, and this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. It was above and beyond what they had hoped. You know what the Lord's will is? For you to give yourself to Him. That's what His will is. It's for you to give yourself over to the Lord. And that's easier said than done. Why? Because I know some of us might in here might be a little more stubborn than others, this one included up here. But we all want to hold on to something. We all want to feel like we're in charge a little bit. But the Lord says, why don't you turn yourself over to me? The Lord's will is to give yourself to God. Once you give yourself to the Lord, then He's able to move and direct and guide and show and lead and do all of those things. Why? Because you've given yourself to Him. You do understand that if you give yourself to the Lord, you're in way better hands than if you're trying to take care of it. You do understand that, right? You do understand that your best efforts at figuring out your best life fall very short of what God wants to give you in this life, of what God has for you in this life. I hope you understand it. I talk a lot about it. I talk a lot about it. Why? Because I've been doing it for a while now. And what I've realized is, man, when Christians submit themselves to the Lord, they have joy and peace and comfort and purpose. I didn't say they didn't have any problems. I didn't say they didn't have any difficulties. I didn't say everything was easy. I didn't say they never had any fears. I didn't say that God just took every problem and as soon as it showed up, God just made it fly away. And they just were able to skip down the yellow brick road all the way to Oz. No, I didn't say that. I said they had joy. They had peace. They had purpose. They had long suffering. They were often gentle. They were meek. They were happy. They understood that they had given themselves to the Lord, and whatever comes, comes, but thank God the Lord is with me and I'm walking with Him. And I've seen Christians time and time and time and time and time again say, yeah, give myself over, Lord, that sounds like a decent idea, but I like to control me. I want to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. I want to act how I want to act, go where I want to go, say what I want to say, be the person that I really am. And God's trying to help you with that person that you really are. Because it's not all that pleasing to the Lord all the time. He's trying to change us into something better. Thank God that He can change us. You've only known me the last 5 years. And you can draw enough of your own conclusions to say, But man, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't believe this version of this guy versus a long time ago version. They're different. That's not me bragging. That is the Lord saying, I would like you to be different in these areas. And me having to say, Lord, I want to submit myself to you. I want to submit myself to you and let you allow me to be different through your power. He wants us to give of ourselves. And once you give of yourself to the Lord, the little things become easier. Once you realize you're not calling all the shots, you don't have to figure everything out. Listen, I could sit here this morning and tell you it's the will of God for you to read the Bible every day. Because we can turn in the scriptures and find it. I can tell you that you should pray. And we could turn in the scriptures and find it where you as a Christian, the will of God for you today is for you to pray unto him and cast your cares upon him. It's the will of God that you come to church. It's the will of God. It's what the Bible says. But if we give ourselves to the Lord, then guess what? We give of ourselves to him. We give of our will to him. We turn ourselves, we give over ourselves to the Lord. Then guess what? The reading and the praying and the coming and the obedience is much easier. It's much easier when we give ourselves over to the Lord. So there's two ways to handle it. Some sermons are, would you read your Bible already? That's what some of the sermons are. Why? Because you don't do it consistently. And you should be in it. It's the life of what we're trying to do here and live for the Lord. Man, my Christian life is so frustrating. I don't know what God wants. I don't know what he's doing, and I can't get any victory. But you're not reading the Bible to understand any of those things that you don't know. Get in the book. Some messages are like that. This one's not one of them. All that was just an example of a message I might preach. How we should pray, we should call on the Lord. That should be the very first thing we do. God, help us. God, give me wisdom. God, heal. God, protect. God, move. God, do something in our lives. And for those that we love, we should come to church so an irritable guy can stand up here and get on your case. Why? Because it drives home and the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, he's not right on all of those points, but he's right on that one for sure. That one's for you. And it allows the Lord to speak to our hearts in a way that I never could. And allows us to be under the preaching of God's word and allows us to encourage one another. And what is it? It's the will of God that we do it. But if we give ourselves over to the Lord, then we give ourselves to him. And it's easier to follow his will for the things that he has for us. But it's his desire. It's his desire for us to give ourselves to the Lord. And then to obey him in the little things. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse number 11. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Skip down to verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And the Bible says in these verses, and I put it in my own words, it's the Lord's will for you to have a strong testimony. To have a strong testimony. For who? For him. A strong testimony for the Lord. Let me clarify, if you're confused there for a second. You can have a strong testimony of a lot of things. But one of them is you should have a strong testimony for the Lord. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say anything you want to say. But when the world sees you in a situation that you would not normally put yourself in, then they're going to know what kind of Christian you really are. That's going to be your testimony. Your testimony is not going to be how good of a Christian you were when everything was perfect. Your testimony to the lost world is when things aren't going your way, what are they doing? What's their testimony? And that's when a lot of us blow it. That's when a lot of us, we just throw everything to the wind and we just become carnal in our fleshly lust and just whatever happens, happens. And it's the Lord's will that we have a strong testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that means the Lord Jesus Christ has some control over us and we have given ourselves to him and Jesus Christ can make a difference. That's the testimony I want to have, is that the Lord Jesus Christ can make a difference in my life. Not only for salvation, but how we live and the decisions that we make. I mean, that's what I want people to understand, is that it's not me living a life of a good person in religion. It's me doing good works because Jesus Christ is able to make a difference in my life. And when difficult things come, I can have victory through Christ. And the world can say, wow, it's not how I would do that. We can always do it like the world can do it. It's natural for us to do it like the world can do it. Right? Forget this, I'm out. That's what the world does. That's what you can do. But don't do it. Why? It's the will of God that you have a strong testimony. And when the world watches you and everything's fine, they don't care what you say. But when they're in a position and they wouldn't know what to do, and they see you have some victory and some joy in the Lord, they say, that's what I want. I want that. I want to be able to have that. I want the Lord to change me so that I can be like that. I need something different in my life than where that leads. To have a strong testimony, we need to be clean and we need to be right and we need to be holy. That goes for work or school or your neighborhood or your family. It's a strong testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ that we've decided to live our lives sacrificially for what? For the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens is you decide to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll put some things down in this flesh and in this life to live for him, and you won't even know all the benefits until later. And you'll say, man, all this stuff the Lord asked me to do and was his will for me and my life, this has also been great in all these other areas. And all of these other things that I didn't even know about, God has blessed and God has moved and God has protected and provided because of obedience in all these other things where really when it comes down to it, we just say, I'm going to put down the flesh. I'm not going to do this or that because I want to please the Lord. I want to give myself over to him. I want to have a strong testimony for those I'm trying to witness to and those I'm trying to influence for the cause of Christ. It's the Lord's will for us to have that. It's the Lord's will for us to do that. What's God's plan for my life? I don't know. But we do know some of the things that's God's will for our life. Well, how are we doing that? How are we doing with that? God's plan will unfold. God's plan will be revealed to us. Sometimes God will reveal a plan to you and you missed it. Because you weren't in his will. And it's like, all right, well, I need to adjust. And we live for the Lord and we follow him and we go after what God has for us. And so what are we to do? Well, what can we do today? You know, all the sports people, they say it's one play at a time. Well, what's the game plan? Well, you know, wouldn't it be nice just to have someone... What's the game plan today? Well, the game plan actually is to have more points on the scoreboard than the other team. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, if it's football, we're thinking of running the ball. That's one of our strengths, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to score more points that way. And then guess what happens? The defense stops down the run. You can't get anything on the run. And it's like, huh, my plan's not working out. We're going to have to pivot and do something different. What can we do? It's the old one play at a time. What are we doing? All right, Lord, what's your will for me today? What's your desire for me today? Have I given myself over to you today? But by God's grace, am I going to have a strong testimony for you today? What am I going to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ today to be in his will? And then guess what, man? You're ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. If you're in the Lord's will, you're right where God wants you to be. And he'll help you every step of the way. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3 and verse number 16. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Peter 3:16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I've mentioned this, but in this life, you're not going to go unscathed from others. It's just not going to happen. You can do your best to get along with everybody. It's not going to happen. You can do your best to... And listen, after you've tried it for a while, you should come to the realization. All right, I've bent over backwards. I've done this other thing. I've tried to say this. I've tried to act like this towards some, and I've tried to live this way towards some. And they say, please keep your religion to yourself. So I've tried to back off with this. And guess what? I still can't win with some people. So you know what you can come to realize? Just live for Christ. Just live for Christ. Just live for the Lord. Say what the Lord wants you to say. Don't say what the Lord doesn't want you to say. Follow his will. Live for him. And when you get it in the neck, be like, well, I saw it coming. Why? Because you're always going to get it in the neck. Listen, in 1 week, I can have somebody say, I love how you did that, Pastor. And in the same week, somebody else says, didn't really care for how you did that, Pastor. So what do? Try to figure out what the Lord wants me to do and do that. And whatever's said, said. Whatever's happening, happens. Whatever goes on, goes on. Man, I'd much rather have the world say, man, you're too much of a Christian. You love the Lord too much. You try to stand for the Lord too much. Why? Because if not, they'll call you a compromiser. Oh, now you're going to say something for the Lord. Oh, well, what about the other time when we were in this other situation? Why? Because the world doesn't care. The world doesn't care. But thank God that we can suffer for well-doing. And it's way better than suffering for evil-doing. Some of you remember back to a life without Christ, a life of sin, a life of self. And you know what? It wasn't perfect. And it had its troubles. And it had its struggles. Some of you know what it's like to maybe be saved, but walk away from the Lord and do your own thing. Turn from his will and do your own thing. Guess what? Man, some of that's miserable. Some of the most miserable years of my life were when I was laying in bed at night and the Lord said, you know what I want you to do? And I said, yeah, but I don't want to do that. Some of the most miserable years of my life, looking over my shoulder, because why? I was a child of God. He had every right to trip me and make me fall on my face. He had every right to whoop me as his child. And so every time I lay there at night in the dark, just me and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would say, boy, the Lord really wants you to go this way. You're on the wrong path, son. And I'd say, well, this is how I want to do it. And I'd be like, waiting. Just wait. Say, what was that? It was foolishness, is what it was. And then I submitted to the Lord and tried my best to submit to the Lord. And guess what? Well, not everything was perfect. But man, Lord, I'm glad you're with me and I'm with you. Whatever comes, what may. Come what may. The ridicule, the this, the that, the whatever it is. Sometimes it comes. Listen, I worked construction for 20 years. Not everybody is like, oh, you're a Christian? That's amazing. Let's talk about the Bible. Nope. And when you open your mouth sometime to them, it's not always like, oh, please tell me more. I'm going to take my 15-minute break so I can sit here and listen about Jesus. It's not always like that. And if they know you're a Christian, sometimes it's just constant. We're just going to push the buttons constantly. And as soon as he loses the testimony, we're going to point it out. And we're going to never let him forget it. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole idea. Sometimes you're on a job site trying to talk to the Lord, and the Lord says, why don't you take a knee right now and pray to me? I'm like, Lord, you do understand there's like 7 other contractors in this building right here. They already know I'm a Christian. If I'm taking a knee praying right now, and what do? Take a knee. What are you doing? I'm praying for a moment. What in the world? Hey, he's praying. Well, they didn't know. They know now. Say, what does that do? I don't know. It gives you a little backbone. You get up and say, thank you, Lord, for that. I did it. It was nothing. But someone said something about me from my walk with the Lord. Look in chapter 4 in verse number 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time, should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know what that is sometimes when the world points out that you're supposed to be a Christian? Keeps you honest. Keeps you walking close with the Lord. The Lord will use some God-rejecting reprobates to get your walk back with him the way it should be. And to remind you, hey, you are my child. Arm yourself with the same mind. Christ suffered in the flesh. Arm yourself with that same mind. And you know what you do? You won't spend the rest of this life in the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. It's his will. It's his will. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm not going to spend a long time on this one here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. It's a simple one. This is a simple one. Abstain from fornication. If you're taking part in this sin, the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. That's what it says. Fornication is a sin. It's the will of God that ye abstain from it. So if you're taking part in that, stop it. It's the will of God. We want God to bless our lives. We want God to bless this or bless that. We want the best. And yet someone can be living in sin and you can't get any more clear than this verse. Sometimes, you know, I'm preaching topics and I got to kind of use the verse and then run around and kind of say, this is kind of what I'm trying to get it to say. This is very, very plain. Very simple for everyone to understand. Look in verse 4. It says, abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's our bodies. We're a vessel. In sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, desire. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That's what sinners do. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He says, abstain from fornication. Why? So you can possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. You know what that is? Self-control. That's what it is. It's the will of God that we show some control in our lives. Why? It separates us from the world. It separates us from the world. The world today is obsessed with the bedroom. Obsessed with it. Anna, you and I should be different. We should be different. We should have some self-control. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. Paul says, well, the lost world that doesn't know God, they're going to act like that. But you don't. That's what he says, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't be a part of it. And then let's look lastly at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. I think this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Why? Because it establishes our goings. It establishes our attitude in this life. It establishes our heart. It corrects our heart. It corrects us when we start to turn away from the Lord and from His will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." A lot of people say nowadays, I talk to preachers and they say, when you preach, you should always say "we," because it makes everybody feel like we're all involved in it. But there's a lot of preaching that should be "you" preaching. Because if I haven't got it taken care of and gotten it right with God, I shouldn't be up here preaching to you against it. If you're fornicating, you know what I should say? "You, stop it." Not, "let's us stop it." No. That's not what we're talking about. You know what the Bible does sometimes? The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning all of us." No, the Bible says concerning you. So as you read it, guess what? No confusion. When you read it, "This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Me? The Holy Spirit says you. Right there. "In everything give thanks." I don't always want to give thanks. Because I don't always appreciate everything. Sometimes I wish things were different. Sometimes I talk to the Lord and say, "Lord, can we get on the same page here? Can you do this how I'm looking at it? Can you see this thing how I'm seeing it? Can you view it how I'm viewing it? Can your will just, can it be my will this time?" And I'm not always thankful, but I should be thankful. And when I am thankful, then you know what I find? I find my heart and my will is turning back to the Lord when I'm thankful. "All right, Lord, I don't appreciate this at all." And it's okay to say that. We don't have to tell everybody else, but it's okay to say that to the Lord. "Lord, I don't appreciate this. Not one bit. I actually don't like it. And this, whatever your will is here, I wish you'd change it. But if I can start to say, but I'm thankful you haven't left me. I'm thankful that you're still here. I'm thankful that you speak to me. I'm thankful I have friends that pray for me. I'm thankful I have a family that loves me sometimes." They're not always thankful either, all right? "Lord, I'm thankful for your word that can correct me. I'm thankful for preaching as an opportunity for me to get right before you bring out the rod of correction. Lord, I'm thankful that you saved me, even though you know I'd be like this. Even though you knew I'd be argumentative. Lord, I'm thankful for saving me." And you know what happens when I start to be thankful? Man, my attitude starts to shift. My demeanor starts to shift. And I start to think, well, this could be worse. And then think of 100 ways it could be worse. One is, I could be going through all this without Jesus Christ as my Savior. Wouldn't trade it. Wouldn't trade it. Another one that's very clear in Thessalonians: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know what all this is for? Turn to Hebrews 13. I said it was my last point, not last reference. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, starting in verse number 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Man, there's a lot in those verses. There's a lot in those two verses. The God of peace, the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, to make you perfect in every good work to do his will. But we're not left to ourselves. It says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. I don't preach this message and then say, good luck with it. Have fun. You do you, I'll do me. No, I say, Lord, please help me. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be made perfect in every good work to do his will. You know, I found out there's a kid's song that says, he's still working on me. That's what I find. I find at 47, I can still say, he's still working on me. To do what? He's still working on me. To make me perfect in every good work and to do his will. Say, boy, I really wish I knew what the will of the Lord was. Well, you know what some of them are. You know what some things are. And the thing I found in this Christian life is we often worry about what we don't know and what we don't understand. What we can't figure out. What God hasn't revealed. We often worry about that instead of doing something with what we already know. We cast that off and say, well, I already know that, so I don't want to deal with that anymore. I want this new revelation to me. I want the big picture. And what should you and I do? We should draw it back in and say, Lord, if I can do your will today, then tomorrow I trust that you'll put me in the right place so that I can do your will tomorrow. If I let the Lord Jesus Christ work in my heart and in my life, and I can be busy for you now, then I'm trusting by faith that your plan for me will be revealed, and then I'll be able to follow that as I continue to do your will. And as I continue to live for you and continue to give myself to you, and as I continue to have a strong testimony and continue to try to follow you in all things, including the reading and the praying and church, and including all of those things that you reveal to me, Lord, if I can stay doing that, then when your plan is revealed, I'll be right there and I'll be ready for it. I'll be there. I'll be prepared. All of that stuff, 18 years of day after day after day after day after day, trying to follow the Lord's will and trying to minister as I was called to and submit to my pastor and to grow and to learn from him. Day after day after day after day was what? It was preparation. It was submission for today. For me to stand here as the pastor of this church. If the Lord would have put me in a position to pastor when I graduated Bible school, sheesh, what a wreck. What a disaster. And I'm still holding on by a thread sometimes, I feel like. Lord, help me. After all that, after all those years. But what is it? God's plan revealed as it goes, but trying to walk in the will of the Lord. What should I do today? God, help me to do that today. And then wake up tomorrow and say the same thing and watch what God does in your life. Watch where God leads and directs and moves. And my life is in his hands. And it's the best place to be. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. The will of the Lord. A lot of it's not magic. It's not mystery. It's not mystical. We can read the Bible and we can understand some things that are the will of the Lord. He says very plainly, it's God's will that Christ died. It's God's will that you receive what he's done for you. It's God's will for you to give of yourself to him. Submit yourself to him. It's God's will that you have a strong testimony. That you suffer for well-doing instead of evil-doing. That you abstain from fornication, fleshly lusts, and sins. And that in everything, give thanks. Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's his will. As the piano begins to play, let's just bow our heads and talk to the Lord a little bit for just a couple minutes. Not to prolong it, not to make you just sit here, but to allow you to speak to the Lord. Some have come to the altar. If you want to come, come. If you want to humble yourself and get on a knee before God, make your way down and speak to him. Yeah, there's uncertain times in life. Continue to do the will of God. Continue to draw close. Put your faith in him. Rest in the Lord. Allow the Lord to give great victory.